This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
I have a marketing schedule. This works really well, by the way. So here's your free tip. Okay.
Yes.
So for a venue, it's 50 to 100 people. You want to do a save a date kind of post. You can say how you want. That's the idea. So 30 days out, save the date. It's coming up. And then 21 days out, you let them know, 3 weeks or 21 days out, it's coming up. And then 10 days out, 10 days, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can make them all creative how you want. I mean, you are creative if you're a comic, so just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the marker days out. And then 2 days out, and then you want to do a thank you post.
Hot Breath. What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? We are back with another Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. I'm your host, comedian Joel Byers, and I am thrilled to present to you this one-of-a-kind podcast today. As you know, our mission is to cultivate the next generation of great comics, and a big part of how we do that is in our Hot Breath Pro Comedian Incubator. And I recently got booked on a run of shows in Virginia from a member of the Hot Breath Pro community. I've been doing comedy over 11 years, and the shows that she produces were some of the most fun and well-run and organized shows I've ever been a part of, so I had to get her on the podcast to help you learn how to produce your own successful shows. The easiest way to connect with Dawn and ask her even more questions is just join Hot Breath Pro and connect with her and other bookers around the world to learn the craft of how you can not only develop your skill set as a comedian, but to also start getting paid to do this. So if that sounds like something that you've been looking for, go into the description of this episode and click Join Hot Breath Pro, and we'll see you over there. But now, we'll see you on the other side of this episode, my friends, as there is only one thing left to do, and that is inhale a hot breath with Dawn Davis Womack.
All right, what is goody? Hot Breathiverse, Joeliverse, wherever you're watching this is a very special interview we're gonna do today with my guest Dawn Davis Womack and Bruno here. Oh, just in time, the air cut off just in time. That's perfect.
Perfect.
So basically, I've been doing comedy 11 and a half years, and Dawn booked me on her shows here in Virginia with her X2 Comedy production company. And I've never seen shows run like this before.
Thank you.
So professionally there's like every show has all of these notes attached to it, and there's a flow, and there's the audiences are reflective of like your professionalism. So I think we talk about DIY comedy and comedians creating their own shows, I think there's levels to this, and I think you're at the top of the level. I've seen a lot of shows, and I think yours is probably the best well-run I've ever seen. So I guess what you could do, I wanted to pick your brain selfishly as well, but also to help other comics. So like, could you give a brief overview of just who you are, your comedy experience, and then get into like X2 and how that started?
Okay, yeah. I'm Dawn Davis Womack.
It's happening.
It's happening. On a Joel Byers podcast.
I know.
I feel lucky today.
Dawn is a member of the Hot Breathiverse for sure. She's an OG member. So
yes.
This is all serendipitous.
Yes, it is. You made me better. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You made me better.
Yes. And this is Bruno. He's the X2 Comedy mascot.
Oh, my dog Guinness
He's
is going to
awesome.
Be jealous.
And I got into comedy to face my fears of doing stand-up. It'll be 5 years this December. And I took comedy classes to figure out how to do it and got hired out of my first, out of the graduation showcase. And then have been performing ever since in D.C., L.A., and throughout Virginia. And then in 2018, I decided to start X2 Comedy so we could bring more comedy here to the Valley for the people that live here, and also provide more opportunities for comics to have stage time. And then now it's 3 years, and this year it launched a podcast called Virginia's for Laughers, and that is a podcast about all things non-hiking in the Shenandoah Valley.
Not-
you know, because it-
a Apparently.
We've heard about all of that.
Apparently, yeah.
Apparently.
Hiking's a big deal here.
It is.
Now comedy is, thanks
now
to you.
Now comedy is, and we interview interesting people that live here, but also the comedians that perform here. Mm-hmm. We had you on the podcast with Winston a few weeks ago to promote the show that happened Thursday night at Kroski's Vineyards.
So what year did you start comedy? Did you say your year?
That was 5 years ago, 2016.
5 years ago. Okay, yeah. Cool. So how did X2 like come about? Because like most comics are like, oh, I want to start a show. I think this bar has a dark corner we can stand in. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like if they pay me in fries, I'm cool with that. But like you're not only putting together a show, like you're paying people real money as well, which I am eternally grateful for. So like the X2 shows, like did it start with like the name or did it start with a venue? Like how did you actually say, I want to start producing shows in this area to help comics, but also to help the area? So then like what's step one?
That is really a great story because before I did stand-up comedy, there are a few other actors that live here locally, comedic actors, Jonathan Stewart and John Huffman and Lisa Ha, and we all did some comedy sketch. We wrote comedy sketches, and we put them out there on YouTube. You can see them today.
Oh, that's cool.
It wasn't anything regular or anything ongoing, but it's Friendly City Comedy. And out of that, a new brewer in town, well, now he's not as new, Jeff Moons from Restless Moons Brewing, has started his brewery and was looking for events. And he had heard of Friendly City Comedy, and he messaged Friendly City on Facebook, and none of them were active at the moment, and we had kind of disbanded. So I just reached out to the other troupe members and said, if you don't mind, I just started stand-up. I'd love to contact Jeff and see if he would let do... if we can do some stand-up there.
Yeah.
And I reached out to him, and that's how that started.
So when you do your shows, I mean, like, because I know I've produced several shows. I've produced open mics and book showcases. But even, like, I'm kind of, I'll be like, all right, well, who do I book this month? And then, like, okay, how do I market this? And then what's the setup for the show? I mean, there's so many different moving parts. And, like, what kind of tips do you have for comics to like put together like a professionally structured show?
Well, I will say getting advice from other people that run shows. That's what I did first. I had never run a comedy show before. So I reached out to comics that I had met through open mics that I knew were producing shows. And I called them on the phone and said, hey, do you mind sharing with me how you put together a show? And I took notes from all of them. I called about five.
Wow.
And then there were some common themes between all five of them. And so that's how I started building a structure for X2 comedy, which is constantly evolving.
What were the themes?
You know, well, the no more than 90 minutes, actually.
Yes.
Because comedy isn't such an emotional release that when you start going into 2 hours, it's just too much for people. So ideally somewhere between 75 to 90 minutes. Also, how to just basically assess where a comic really is. Lots of times a newer comic will say, I'll say, how many minutes of clean comedy can you do? And they'll say, oh, I can do whatever you want. I can do 35, 40 minutes. Well, that's... to be determined.
Yeah. You could do 35 if every punchline hits.
Yeah.
But if they start missing, that starts shrinking real quick.
Yeah, and it helps to get, if you haven't seen them personally, then you want to get some video from them. You know, you don't really want to put people on, if you want to produce a quality show, you don't want to put just an unknown commodity out there. So that was one of the other common themes. And then being there, being professional, showing up an hour before your event starts so you can set it up and have it all ready to go before people pop in. I mean, how you treat it is how your audiences will treat your show.
Oh, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how the comics will treat it as well,
yes.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
How seriously they take it. Because you're texting us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're on top of us of, like, be here at this time, and you have reminders because, you know, comedians are all
it's
over
like
the place.
Cats,
it really... It really is. Yeah, yeah. So you do a great job of that.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And yeah, and you had asked me last night if I had an event planning background.
Yeah.
I do in several arenas. So I was a health and fitness professional for 20 years and had lots of leadership experience there. And then did leadership training for college students at James Madison University.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And then when my son was in high school, I coordinated a community service organization for athletes, and we planned trips to serve Hurricane Katrina victims. And so there's a lot of skills from my previous career lives that have come into play also. But I would say anybody interested in running a show, there's a lot of transferable skills that you have from the job you have now or jobs you've had before in terms of planning and programming that you can bring into producing a show.
So how far out are your shows like planned?
They can be planned months in advance. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah. And then the marketing, a big thing for marketing, that's huge, you know. So the bigger the show, the further out I'll market. And the smaller the show, the closer in I'll market. So okay. If it's at a smaller brewery, you start marketing 21 days, 10 days, 2 days. But if it's a big event, you know, we had an event at Court Square Theater here in Harrisonburg, and it's a 260-seat theater, and the goal was to sell it out. And we sold it out.
Oh so. My gosh. Whoa. I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
It was really awesome.
Yeah. Flex. We sold out a theater. Flex.
Well, you know, because the goal is laughter is an amazing gift. Mm-hmm. And so the more people that are sitting in the audience, the more butts in the seats, the more laughter, and the more healing we can do. So it's
true.
I have a three-pronged commitment or goal, and that is that the audience has a great experience, the comedians have a great experience, and the venue that we're performing at has a great experience.
How do you ensure, is there like a checklist within each of them, or like what are the features of each of those prongs that like you make sure you uphold?
Communication's huge, and communication is in marketing out through social media and our newsletter and through the venues. Their reach out to their community and communicating with the venues what it is that I plan to send out there for marketing. So they have access to that too, so they can put it out to their community. So communication with the comics from beginning to end with their contract and expectations and when to show up. You know, they'll get a text 2 days before they show up, and I kind of run through where you're supposed to be, what the address is, and you know, I do have kind of a checklist and on that. I showed that to you on my phone. Yeah.
So
each venue is a special text thread created just for that event for the comics performing in that show.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of tips do you have, because you produce several shows, for like an optimal like venue?
What do you mean by that?
So what, because I mean, shows can come and go, but you seem to have developed relationships with the people you're working with. And so it's more like a mutual exchange, as opposed to like, you didn't jump in somewhere to try to get like, get a quick lick, as we say in the game.
Yeah.
That means money. Nothing cancelable happening on that phrase. That's a little ATL slang type of thing.
We're clean comedy here.
Yeah, and X2's clean comedy as well, which is an intentional part of the branding. So that's another differentiator you have.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, though, it's with our brand of clean comedy, it's clean comedy PG-13. Because we want to be a place where clean comics that work clean exclusively can work with comics that work blue or dirty but can do a clean set. Now we're all on the same stage. So the PG-13 is there because I do find that my dirty comics line of clean. So if something slips out, we're covered by the brand of the PG-13. Yeah.
So what do you look for in a venue?
That's a great question. I actually look for collaboration and people that like having events at their venue. So what I mean by collaboration is I like to look at venues that are doing a lot of different kinds of events. So that means they're open to trying something new. Mm-hmm. So I'll approach people that may not have thought about having comedy at their venue before and say, hey, what if we got together and talked about what comedy would look like at your venue and create a win-win? So tonight, actually, Joel is going to another event.
Uh-huh.
It is comedy and Kazumba night at Friendly City Dance Room, because that's a thing.
Yeah. We've done a winery, an upscale winery. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was at like the Biltmore or something. And then we did a farm. We did a farm.
Yep, last night.
Last night a farm. And then tonight we're doing like a dance hall, I guess. So that's another part that like was like had my curiosity going of just the diversity of venues as well. You know, it's very impressive. So I'm excited to see what tonight brings for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be two parts dance lesson, two parts comedy show. So we'll do a dance lesson, then half comedy show, and then the other half of the dance lesson. And then Joel's going to close out the night for us.
Oh, no. No one's open. No one's a buffer between me and the dancing. It's just me.
Chris is going to be for you.
Oh, okay. So he's going to take...
He's going to get 5 minutes.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, then that'll work. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm not complaining now. Wait, is no one... Excuse me in the contract. It was in that text that I was so impressed that she sends out on like a very diligent basis. It was in that text where she told me,
if you get on our show, read that text.
Yeah, you're right. So how, because this is something for me, if I could like selfishly ask, like I've been running a monthly show at a brewery, and I just started also doing a weekly open mic there on Wednesdays, hoping maybe that'll be a way to discover new talent for the showcase, but also build awareness that we're doing comedy there. But for the showcase itself, it's like the first one was like really big, and then it's kind of, maybe it's, I mean, they've all had people there, you know, like maybe like the last one maybe had like 40 or so, and it's like a local brewery in like a small town, so there's not much else going on. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we could easily sell out every time, but there's, I don't know. What kind of tips do you have? I'm kind of at a plateau right now with it.
Okay. Well, I would ask, how are you selecting your comedians?
Right now it's ones that I know and familiar that'll put on a good show. So okay. I'm sure to put on quality talent for sure.
Okay. And how many do you have?
I usually do 5. Even that's like, I like the show to be 75 minutes.
Okay.
So I kind of book it that way and give each person time based on that timeline. So I do that.
Okay. So it's not the talent. And how is your marketing?
It's not.
And that's it.
How can I market it? What do I need to do?
Some good marketing tips that I'll be happy to share with people. Please. So they can all have more laughter. Okay, so let's take, how many people can you see in this place? We'll do a real live example.
Yeah, so when I did it pre-pandemic, we had 100 people in there.
Oh,
that was the most we ever had, yeah. And then COVID hit immediately after that.
Okay. All right, well, let me ask you, when is the first time people hear about it, and where do you put the information out?
The first time people hear about it, just thinking about even, I have a showcase next weekend, and I don't know if people have heard about it yet. So there's something to that.
I think we're learning something today, Joel.
I guess it's kind of like when a comic asked me, why isn't this joke working? And I was like, well, have you done it on stage? Did you record your set? So it's all these fundamentals, I guess, that like we always want like a silver bullet, but it's the work is the silver bullet.
Work is the silver bullet. And here's a tip then. I started, I have a marketing schedule. This works really well, by the way. So here's your free tip, okay?
Yes.
So for a venue, it's 50 to 100 people. You want to do a save a date kind of post. And you can say it how you want, but that's the idea. So 30 days out, save the date. It's coming up. And then 21 days out, you let them know. 3 weeks or 21 days out, it's coming up. And then 10 days out. 10 days, you know, and you can make them all creative how you want. I mean, you are creative if you're a comic, so just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the marker days out. And then 2 days out, and then you want to do a thank you post. And let them know when the next one's going to be, especially if it's monthly. And then if you want to increase the butts in the seats, already have that ticket leak live.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do the thank you post, if you actually can go to, I hired a social media person, you can go to X2 Comedy and look at the example post just put out from last night's show. And you'll see that you put the ticket link to the next month's show in the thank you post. So that's a free tip for you guys so we can all get more laughter out there.
And yeah. When you say let them know, is that like...
the audience.
But are you posting on social media? Is mm-hmm. the venue emailing this out to their newsletter yes. as well?
Yes.
Like who... Yeah, how are you... What are all these channels?
So I have a lot of different channels. That's actually a good tip from the people that produce shows that they shared with me. So I'll share that with you too. So I have a list actually that I made, and I call it an advertising list. And so I have like a check it off. So I will do it through social media. We have Facebook and Instagram, but whatever your social media outlets are, we have a newsletter. And then the venue will do the same on their social media and in their newsletter. We also post flyers around town. And then each community will have online calendars, so you can get on your local community's online calendars and do that. Here we have Massanutten Resort. So people at Massanutten Resort like to do in-town activities. So you may have some other things like that in your community, but I made friends with the people over there that get that information out to all their guests.
Mm.
So that's something to think about. What is it that you have available in your community? If you're in a tourist area, that's bonus for you, because then you can reach out to the different people that want the tourists to know that are staying at their place, that there are things going on. So that's another great tip too.
Will you reach out to them, like to get in with these like touristy, if it's like the resort or whatnot? Mm-hmm. Do you just go and talk to them?
Actually, I have an email communication with them.
Uh-huh.
So I'll take, actually I took just a section of my newsletter that I put out to my own people and copy pasted that and sent it out to my friends at Massanutten Resort. They pass it out. Yeah.
So, and you do all the designing, and then you make it easy for the venues. Like you do all the designing and then they just help distribute.
And then some of the venues do their own marketing. It just really depends. And that's back to the communication. So I offer that to every venue, but then some venues have their own people, or some organizations have their own people. So they like to create their own. And I use Canva.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not familiar with that, it makes you look like a better designer than you are, because I drew anything, it'd be stick figures.
Yeah. Yeah, Canva's great. And it's so free, okay, too. Yeah, they have a free option. Yeah. What about like...
And press releases for big new events. Those are great.
Press releases.
Press release. So you write a press release about your event,
uh-huh.
and then send it to different news outlets and let them know about it about 10 days before the event, unless it's huge. But if it's new and different, that can really help too. So if you're starting a new monthly event somewhere, then you find out what are all your online and paper printed news sources and send them a press release about your event.
What's in a press release? It's like the logo and then like a description of the show and all of that?
It's like an article about your event. So you write up a news article, like you would become a journalist for your own event. That's a press release.
And then they'll release it?
Yeah.
Whoa. So it sounds like...
Not all the time, you know, but you write it and send it out. I would send it out to about 10 or 12 people. And then it gets out in the newspaper or online news.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking is like, it seems like it's like a small town where I do my show. So I could do one, there's like a rec center there. So I could go and see if I can hang up posters there or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then like any local publications... in that city or the surrounding cities, mm-hmm. I could send a press release to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was going to say, to help yourself get organized, I started out by putting the 30-day, 21, 10, 2-day in my Google Calendar. First in a paper planner, but now I use a Google Calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we have multiple events, I use a free project management software called Trello. So each show has its own card on Trello to keep track of all of that. So I can coordinate with my social media person, and she has access to it too, so she knows what days to post reminders.
So the private question everyone is wondering is money, and you're paying real money, which is so nice. And
I believe in that.
And you have real, and that's, I'm super excited about that, because there is, and I see it a lot in the Hot Breathiverse. Everyone that's producing shows that, like, I'm familiar with in the Hot Breathiverse, they're all making sure comics are getting paid, and getting paid fairly as mm-hmm. well. So I'm glad this, like, that's starting to become a new wave within comedy, is like comics producing their own shows, but also making sure comics get paid what they're worth as well. So how, yeah, the payment, that's probably like the biggest question people are going to have. So how do you, when you're negotiating pay with a venue, like what is your, what's your MO there? What's your system?
I love to talk about this because I think, I think this is a good moment for us all to really help each other and support each other. The reality for a producer is they work out a deal with a venue, and the venue has an idea in mind about a budget they want to pay and or can't afford. And so to have a show, sometimes that's what you're limited to. So that means the producer is limited in terms of what they can pay the talent. So when I started, my budget was $150 for a show.
At that brewery show?
Yes.
I've heard that initially.
And so you got to work within that. And that means that you're not going to be able to pay some talent what they're really worth. And I would say to that, just because we're limited in what we can pay you doesn't say that we value you any less or think you're worth less. It's just, we're not going to pay $500 out of pocket if our budget's $150.
Of course.
You see what I'm saying?
Of course. So, yeah.
So that means that your budgets are going to vary in terms of venue. So the Thursday night show you were in, that's a premier show for us. And so we can invest more in talent and you can see that. And then the lower budgets, we'll still have great talent on that, but you have to just shuffle the cards to make the whole thing work and put the puzzle pieces together. You just pay what you can pay. And you let people know, that's what I've told them. I was like, I initially I'm starting out, I'm gonna pay you as much as I can. And when I can pay you more and put you on another show where I can do that, I will do that. Ask Winston, he'll tell you.
Yeah, he's done a lot of
your
shows.
He'll tell you, he stuck with me.
He was a hometown hero.
He said, I kept my word.
He was a hometown hero here. Yeah. And
varies.
Comedy fans here, which was so inspiring.
Yeah, pay varies based on what you can work out. So I work out flat fees, door deals, and it depends. And, so, there's going to be a difference between what the budget is for a nonprofit organization versus a vineyard. Or, a premier vineyard, they're going to have different funds available, and you work within that.
So where would you start? Like, I had another brewery actually reach out to me actually this week, actually, since I've been here, about, like, maybe doing a show at their place. And I looked at other events they do, and they do, like, some, like, trivia, and they have, like, a band that comes in. So would you recommend, like, do you first ask, what would be your budget for this? And then, like, negotiate from there. Oh, maybe we should do a door deal instead. But if their other events don't have a door deal or cover, that's kind of a difference for people used to coming there and getting free entertainment. If now there's a cover, there could be a mental block there. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Oh.
I think it really depends on where you are, too, in your comedy journey. So you have a lot of experience running shows. So for you, it's going to be a lot easier for you to go to a venue and to answer your question, you could say, if you haven't done comedy here before, what is it that you typically pay your music talent here? Like, what is your typical budget for them? And they're going to give you kind of a ballpark. And then sometimes they may say, there's a negotiation art skill to all of this, by the way.
Okay.
Because they may not tell you, and they might say, well, what are you willing to take,
Right.
So you just focus on, if you have your heart in creating a win-win for them, then you'll be able to talk that out. You just need to know what you can take less than, or maybe even just start like I did with people that were willing to trust you and build with you, knowing that down the road you would bring them back when you can pay them more. And that's kind of how I've started, because I was an unknown commodity even as a comedian. My first show that I did for Restless Moons, I could maybe do 10 minutes of comedy.
Solid. Yeah. At best.
I can do a lot more now, but yeah, at best. Solid and a half.
Solid and a half. We're rounding up to 10 there for sure. We're rounding up.
Oh, and I would also say, Bucro, to I learned this tip from Robert Mack, and I'm very thankful, and he's actually seen me do that the last two nights. Is if you're going to be a producer growing a presence in your own community, that means your community is seeing you all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. So your best approach to help yourself and your production company is to give that time to the talent that you're bringing in, and you host and just do like 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and graciously give that time to them, because again, they're seeing you all the time, all the time, all the time. You can take your longer sets out of town and bless the comics that are coming in, mm-hmm. to help you make the show, and it'll make you better too.
So what would you say?
You like, can actually build a whole new 30 minutes pretty relatively quickly if you approach it that way.
Just doing like small chunks every
time?
Yeah,
you can build five-minute type fives at a time and help yourself build as a new comic with new material while you're helping other comics get more stage time.
So I'm trying to like, as we're landing the plane, because we're going to do about 30 minutes here, because we're about to go. Dawn is housing me here.
We're in the man cave.
We're in the man cave here.
Man cave, yeah.
And then we're about to go get ready for the show. Mm-hmm. So like, are there any like, is there anything we didn't touch on, or is there something you wish you knew when you started that you could kind of leave us with?
Something I wish I knew when I started. Oh, it's just like, trust me, it's just like doing condoms.
Doing condoms. I thought this was a clean show, Dawn. Goodness great. I guess it would be a clean show, actually, if you're talking about condoms.
I have no idea.
Heavens to Betsy, Dawn. You're going to get us canceled on this one.
Clean comedy, PG-13.
Yeah, PG-13, y'all. PG-13, yeah.
No, what I meant to say, it's just like me.
Anything you want to leave us with, Dawn? Condoms.
Condoms.
Use your condoms, kids. You're talking about microphone condoms, right?
Absolutely.
That's what you're talking about.
Totally was thinking that.
Yep.
Totally thinking that. No, seriously. But it is like being a comic and growing as a comic. You get to a point sometimes where you're like, why am I doing this? What am I doing with my life? You know, no one likes what I say. That joke didn't kill. You know, you can beat yourself up a lot. And the same thing can happen with producing comedy shows. And there is a cycle, just so you know, it's normal. Get really excited about the event that's coming up. And then as it leads closer and closer, you're like, I wish there were more tickets and butts in the seat. Will this thing even happen? Is anybody going to show up? Yeah. And then you get there and it's a great time. And if you've invested in it, if you will build it, they will come. So then the event goes really well, and then you're on a high, and you can't wait to do the next one, and then the cycle starts all over again. So if you're feeling stressful 10 days toward the show, that's normal. That's just normal. I wish I would have known that. And then just like a comedian, you just get knocked down, you pick yourself up, you get up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to realize, it's your show seems to be a reflection of the amount of effort you put into it.
Yes.
Because as I'm talking about my show, I'm like, you know, that tracks with how much energy I'm putting into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially the marketing.
The marketing, yeah. So that seems to be, as if we could like encapsulate everything, it seems like finding a venue that you have a mutual interest in, like you both want to help this show win.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing, be marketing, like, you know, have a marketing schedule and be marketing like 30 days out and have like a schedule leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And booking a solid like lineup. Don't just book all your friends. Like book people that are funny that are gonna create a quality product for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to pay, you can do like if they do other events, because that's kind of the venues you want to approach, is ones already doing events. So you ask them what their deal is with them, mm-hmm. and get a ballpark estimate there. Like, is all yours flat rates, or do you do door deals?
No, door deals and flat rates. Yeah.
Door deals and flat rates.
So tonight's door deal.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was flat rate. Thursday night was half and half.
So, half and half.
Yeah. So there's a fee and a door deal.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like my brewery show is $15 and it includes a free beer, and they get $5 and I get the $10 of that.
Okay.
So that was just like a baseline, something they had done like previously. And I was like, yeah, let's just do that. But that's really my only experience with that. So,
yeah. And cool. A couple things to that. I would say with your friends who are in comedy and you see I will put someone on who could do 5 minutes as long as they're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah. that my husband's a great example. He actually just started doing stand up 3 months ago.
He's great.
And he's really just a natural.
Yeah, he's funny.
So, but he's brand new, so he's got about 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time he gets on the stage. But and I think that's great because you can help people. We can all help raise up more killer comics like Winston Hodges if we'll just meet people where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, a lot of the comedy club model would be you have an opener, they do 10 minutes, the feature does 25, and the headliner does 45. Well, who said we had to, you know, comics break rules all the time. So you can fill in that show and give those newer comics more stage time, and then 2-3 months or a year from now, they're going to be ready to do 15, 25 minutes for you. And you put them ahead of other people that'll make them better because they can see that and grow in that experience. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this did not disappoint. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Where can people like support you and check out what X2 has going on and all that?
Well, we didn't even talk about the podcast you helped me with. So
that's another good marketing.
That's another good
channel,
marketing
yeah.
too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can follow me on Facebook, Dawn Davis Womack Comedian. I could use some love. Mm-hmm. This is why I hired a social media person. I don't know what I'm doing. And then
your shows are fine. Your shows are working. Please. They're like all sold out. You're like, I don't know how to tweet.
Don't.
It's all right.
But you can follow X2 Comedy on Instagram and Facebook. You can go to our website, x2comedy.com. You can reach out to me, bookx2comedy@gmail.com. And yeah, what else? Oh, and the podcast, Virginia's for Laughers with X2 Comedy, which I have to give him a lot of credit for.
Dab.
Because I wasn't even, I put a lot of thought into it and had it all worked out. You know, for us, it's not really like a comedy podcast per se. We talked about that a little bit earlier. All things non-hiking in the Shenandoah.
Yeah.
So, but it's a great synergy because some of our podcast episodes will be comedians coming on. We can promote an upcoming show.
Mm-hmm.
But then it can be other things that happen around here. So this week's episode is going to be the people that run the Point of View Alpaca Farm, and where you can go walk alpacas. And that's going to be an episode. I have a rapper that's going to be on an episode pretty soon.
And they were at, the alpaca people were at your show last night.
In fact, this is how you do it. So tonight's show, and this is a really great example, just be open. You are creative. You are a comic. So just think outside the box. Those alpaca people were there last night, and they love the show. It's the second time they've come to the farm show. And I said, hey, you ever thought about doing something with the alpacas and comedy? We could do a comedy show with the alpacas. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but you know what? It's going to happen. They want to do it. And that's how tonight's event happened, too. I went to an event at Friendly City Dance Room, and I loved the people. And I said, hey, you ever thought about having comedy in the dance room? And they're like, no. I was like, good, let's get together and talk about it. And then I find out from the venue what it is they need to help their business. And then I come with my ideas about how we can complement that and combine comedy with their business.
Yeah, that's something you said earlier. It's like you want to have like an invested interest in their business. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're trying to take from them. You're actually trying to do the show to add to their business. And it seems that synergy is what really creates the opportunity.
Yes, the synergy, creating win-wins.
Makes sense.
Think of it like that, creating win-wins. And that's why it's Comedy in Kazumba, because they really see, this venue sees that being a dance form that's going to get more popular. So they wanted to combine comedy with that to promote that dance form.
I need to ask my venue what they're wanting.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea.
Ask your venue what they're looking for. And it could be, I need so many people to show up tonight. So then you know where your focus is to create a great show in terms of what they want. Like the farm show, their goal is they want to basically double it next summer when we do it. So now I know that they have a target for a number of people, and that will impact how I work with my social media person and advertising to meet those goals. Because when they're happy, when your venue is happy and you've created a great show, you can get monthly shows, more shows. And what does that mean? More opportunities for you to grow, more opportunities for comics.
Boom. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn Davis Womack. You killed it.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice job.
All right.
Thanks for being on Hot Breath.
I was on Hot Breath. I have like 32 subscribers on my YouTube. Oh my gosh.
No, you're great. You're killing. But you're selling out shows. That's what really matters. Not the vanity metrics. You have people that care, that are coming to your shows over and over again.
They're fun.
Someone brought a gift to Winston.
Yeah.
It was like a Winston homecoming. And then I'm like, who am I? What is this? I'm glad it turned out all right.
And I really introduced you so well by telling everybody that
the household name.
Not going to be a household name because he is.
She introduced, after Winston got off stage, after he murdered, she goes, give it up for Winston. He's going to be a household name. Don't you agree? And there was like, yeah. And then she's like, all right, and you're headliner.
All right, from that's Atlanta. A bit of an exaggeration.
It was a bit of an exaggeration. You still gave me a good intro. But now forever, I can always, whenever I come back, and when I am a household name, we will always have this joke to back on.
That's
going to be
right.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dawn. Thanks for helping. You helped a lot of people today.
I hope so. If I can help you in any other way, let me know.
Awesome. All right. Goodbye,
and I'm always
everyone.
Looking for comics.
Do you have a submission form or anything for comics
I
right
do,
now?
I do, actually. So you can message me and I'll send you a form.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. Get out of here, comics. Thank you, Dawn.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
There it is, Hot Brother and Sistren. You now have the sauce to produce your own successful shows. Now it's just time to get to work. If you want to get more feedback on producing your own shows and get held accountable to actually start producing the show, doing all this work, it can be hard to do it alone, but we've created Hot Breath Pro to be that community, to help you be accountable, to be motivated, to get the resources you need to start getting paid in this game. So if that's what you're looking to do, go into the description of this episode and click Join Hot Breath Pro, and I'm so excited to see what shows you all start creating out there. But until then, we'll have another podcast for you next Monday, but get to work. We'll see you on the other side right here on Hot This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.